coming toward the end for a long, long time. Longer than me. That's pretty interesting. They've been coming toward the end for longer than I have. And over the last few months, there's been things haven't been necessarily easy. But as they experienced the support of their church now, as they experienced God working in their lives, they said, hey, we want to formalize this relationship. And we want to take this to a whole new level. So today, you get to be part of the baptism of Dewante Moore and Michelle DeMore. But David has a few questions here because he's a lawyer.
That wasn't so hard, was it? That wasn't so hard. All right, so, Red and Sheldon, I got to ask you guys some questions, all right? I'm going to ask you three questions, and if you can just respond affirmatively, if that's appropriate, at the end. Okay? You accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, and do you desire to live your life in a saving relationship with Him? Do you accept the teachings of the Bible and support their expressions in the statement of fundamental beliefs of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and do you desire, by God's grace, to live your life in harmony with such teachings? That you desire to be baptized as a public expression of your faith in Jesus Christ, to be accepted into the fellowship of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and to support the church in its mission as a faithful steward by your personal influence, tithes and offerings, and a life of service. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
I just want to take this opportunity to say that really, the reason this is happening today is because of you guys. You were playing here for 6 months when you told me that Michelle had said the people in this church were kinder than any church she'd ever been in. Right? So it's not just Bible studies, it's gentle influence, it's just being nice, it's letting Christ live through you that leads to these type of decisions. So we are so happy that you guys are doing this. So happy.
Would you mind praying for us before we start?
Sure. Right. Lord, we're so very happy that these two people, who really, they're already part of us. Mm-hmm. They've been part of us. We're so happy that they want to make this public declaration, this public statement of their commitment to you and this community of faith. We're thankful for what you have done in their lives, and we look forward to the future because we know that with you, both eternally and in this world, that's the
day
to come. Thank you in Jesus'
name. Amen. Amen. All right. So we're going to start with Michelle. You want to come this way. All right. And then we'll be ready. I can take your hand. All right.
It's cold water.
No, it's not. It's beautiful warm. No. Is it cold, Michelle? No, so there's a little step here. Very good. Now, this is the easiest baptism I've done at RGS so far. I've done lakes, in the mountains, I've done the ocean, in April, and this is probably just as happy as all of them, just a little less messy for me. Michelle is an amazing person. She has taken care of her family through thick and thin. She has supported Red through many different trials. And the reason why we have Red here, I can guarantee, is in a huge part because of Michelle. If it wasn't for Michelle, we wouldn't get to enjoy the benefit of Red. And so Michelle, you're the quiet one, I know, but you're the powerful one, and I know that too. And I just thank you for allowing me over the last several weeks to spend time with you. And today I'm just overjoyed, because today I get to be a part of your journey with Jesus, just like we have this month. We get to be part of an important milestone here. So, without any further ado, with great joy in my heart, Michelle, it is a blessing to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
All right, we got it?
Yep.
All right. We're gonna get a little shower. Red. Worship at this church wouldn't be possible. It's not the same when you're not around. We missed you there for a few months, and we're glad that God has brought you back. And you've been part of this family all along. We know that. But you decided to take this a step further. To tie the knot, we could say. To make it official. And I know that God is doing many amazing things in your life. You're starting new ventures at work. You're starting new dreams. And because you've made this decision, because you're putting God first in everything that you do, I have no shadow in my mind that the storms of the past will be put away. And that the future that God has in store for you is brighter than anything you can imagine. We've been talking about starting businesses. He's been talking about going into the real estate business. So you might be renting one of his houses one day. But as long as God is behind the will of all those future plans, that we will be assured that we will come to fruition to the best that it could be given imagine. And guess what? You have a family tree that now gets to be a part of it. So without any further ado, Red Delonta Moore, it is a great privilege and an honor as a humble servant of Christ to baptize you today in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Shallow. We're going to start like at the 3 feet line, and we're going to talk about the things that we all know, and then we're going to try to move a little deeper into the deep end of the pool as we talk about this thing called catechism. And this is important, as we frame this in the context, I heard there was prayer and a really moved. We're in that season when we remember Jesus coming. We know it's not the right day, we know it's at other times of the year, but this is what everybody's thinking about, so it's good that we take time to remember. And it's not good to remember why it is that he came. And he came to give us life. And this is about that life that he gave us. And there's a few words that we're going to be repeating over and over today. Because this is about meaning. This is about longing. And this is about becoming. And sometimes we minimize the importance of this. And I want us to walk right here today encouraged and optimistic about the future I have most of our lives. So that's our plan for today. Alright? A lot of people see baptism as a ritual, a rite of passage. And we're very familiar with that. When we're born, many times we have rites that we do, dedications. This church does something beautiful. We get two little shoes for the babies, and it's an initiation sort of ritual. And then we have other things in our lives that God is in the process of becoming something. We have many times graduations that sometimes point to the completion or becoming into something in life. Sometimes we have different types of accreditations that we receive, or different footprints, milestones in our lives that show how we are becoming something. And in this church, I have been collecting this little things called Mar Mitzvah cards. I don't know why, but something very unique about this church. I've already gotten two of them, but that's another piece in that passage of becoming. And many times we see baptism, perhaps an initiation, perhaps a graduation. And when we look at it that way, sometimes we minimize what it really is. Because baptism, I think, is really about becoming. And in order to become something, it requires us to go on a journey. When we want to become good at a sport, we practice. When we want to become good at a profession, we turn to go to school. And then we tend to continue to strive to learn more. And as we become, sometimes we face obstacles. We get to do overs. We get to do fresh starts. But if we look at baptism as just that, I think we minimize what this experience is all about. So let's pray. And then here's what we're going to do. We're going to do three little stories on the shallow end. Then we're going to go into the deep end with some rather strange stories. And then I'm going to tell you the story of a man who had become something, and then learned that he had become something, but then really didn't become something. And after that story, I'm going to give you an invitation. Because someone here today may be enlightened of the assurance that they can become everything God wanted them to be. And that's why we're here as a church, because we believe that God is our friend. And we believe that He invites us on a journey to a new place. And as we go on that journey, we touch each other's lives. And as we do that, we get to become everything He created us. Are you with me? Sounds good? Three short stories, a long story. And here's my book. I'm going to do all that in 20 minutes. So we're going to move quickly. Are you with me?
Yes.
Some of you are very credulous. Okay? 20 minutes, that's my goal. All right? Why is that? I don't like that. All right. That's my goal. So let's write and then get started. Then I'll hear from Charles. Is it my mom?
Yes.
It says mom. All right. Pump me up there. If not, I'll have to project my voice. That's right. I don't know. We thank you for allowing us to experience this wonderful miracle of new life in Jesus. We know that each kind of decisions like this are made. There's joy in heaven. So as we now dive into this pool of baptism, some of us have been through it. Some of us have been through it maybe more than once. Some of us have never considered it. But help us to be assured that if we believe, if we belong, we can become everything that we need us to be. So as we spend time with you now, help us to leave behind all those things that are burdening us, all those pains, all those hurts, all that damage. And help us to fix our eyes on you. But as we leave this place, we will more than ever believe in the past that God has. So this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So this mic is not working too well. Should I try this? Testing. Testing.
Grant, so now I can sing. I should be a worship leader now. All right, is this better? Let's tune it down a bit. All right, let's start. All right, for the sake of speed, I have put all scriptures, I don't usually do this, but up on the screen for us. Because I want us to take some baby steps into what baptism is. And I want us to start very shallow and then move to the deeper end. Okay? So why do we do this? First of all, very simple. Jesus said, Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all tribes and all tongues and all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. In John, the Bible also tells us that Jesus himself got baptized. So if that's not reason good enough for you, then I don't know what could be. But we can go a little further than that. So I want to invite you to start in the book of Acts. And we're going to start moving sequentially. And we're going to start from simple, what we all know, and start getting into some territory that's a little stranger. So Jesus had left this earth. He had told his disciples, hey, I'm going to come again. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and make disciples. And I want you to baptize all these people. And I want you to pray until you receive the Holy Spirit. And after this, the Bible tells us that they did that. There was this fantastic manifestation of the power of God. The earth shook. And this man started speaking in tongues and people could understand them. Like, you understand my English, which is pretty bad sometimes, and it's miraculous it seems at times, especially when I'm speaking so fast, and I apologize. It's just, it's how I was created, I guess. And they understood what they were saying. And after this, the Bible tells us that Peter now preaches a sermon, and he cannibalizes pretty much the people that were eating. He tears them up. He tells them, hey, you Jews, you people, you think you're the sons of David and you're the sons of Abraham, and you believe in this guy, you revere this guy, you believe in this Messiah who is to come, and then he came and you killed him. That's what you did. But God rose him from the dead, and now it's the end of the chance. And the Bible tells us that after hearing that sermon, this is what happened. Now that they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter, and they said to the rest of the men and brethren, what shall we do? And the answer was so simple. Then Peter said, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So when we're getting into this, when we're talking, when we're here on the very shallow end, the first step, the first level, the first entry level into this thing called baptism, it's very simple, it's repentance. And more than repentance, I think it's acknowledging of where you are. In any recovery, they teach you that the very first thing is acceptance. It's recognizing where you are. Because baptism, I believe, is about knowing where you're going. Baptism is about setting the course. So baptism is about reorienting your life in such a way that you will be assured that you will make it to the finish line. But you cannot do that unless you know where you are. And sometimes that takes recognizing where we are and who we are. Facing some of those things that scares us. Facing some of those things that we try to ignore. Facing some of those things that we make sure nobody else knows. And we all have a mind. God knows. And the first step, and what makes this so meaningful, is that we have to come to grips with who we are if we're ready to move forward. But let's go quickly, because this we all know. This is very simple. So let's go forward. So Acts 16, now this is a totally different story. This is how Paul and Silas, and they're in Macedonia, they have gone there. Now they were thrown in jail. And they're in jail, they're wrongly accused of things, that they've been falsely punished for unlegitimate reasons. Well, unlegitimate to us, I guess to the Romans it was very legitimate. And then there was an earthquake and the whole jail shook and their shackles became free. And now the jailer realizes that all his prisoners are about to escape, and he knows that the Romans are going to kill him if they find out, and he decides to take his sword and end his life. And Paul now says, no, don't do that. We are all here. And by the witness of Paul, this jailer just says, wow, this people must have something to live their lives in such a way. And then he asks them, he brought them in and says, what must I do to be saved? Very simple. And then they said, we're still on the very, very shallow end. And it says, so they said, believe on the Lord Christ, and you will be saved, same hour after the Bible study, and that night he washed their scribes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Another step here in the shallow end of the pool, it's about belief. Because if you know who you are, you know that you want to be so much more than you currently are. You have to be able to believe. Yes, believe in God. Yes, believe that he is everything that he claims to be, but also believe in something far more difficult, and that is to believe of his power in you. Believe in yourself. That's why all the motivational videos, they tell you, stand behind the mirror and tell you are great, you are beautiful, you are all these things. And there is power when we believe that we can do something. But there is more power when we believe that Christ in us can do something. And that is where the step two comes in. And we're still on the shallow, okay? So let's walk a little more. I'm going to try to go quickly because this is very, very familiar territory. Now, Acts 22, this is a little different. Now, Paul is giving his testimony. And now Paul is sitting down, and he's telling them, I need you to know who I am. I was a murderer. I took joy in going from church to church, pursuing Christians. This is what I did, Paul is speaking. I would round them up. I would put them in carts. And they would be sent to their executions. That's who I was. A murderer who took pride in what he did. And then Christ came. And he told me that he had chosen. Who? That man who had killed countless of his followers. And Jesus came, and he told me that he had chosen me, that I would know his will. And I would see the just one, and hear the voice of his mouth. And then this is what he says. For you will be his witness to all men who have seen and heard. And now why are you waiting for? Arise. Be baptized and wash away your sins. Call on the name of Jesus. Because as we transition out of the shallow end into the deeper end, we have to come to that point. Once we accept who we are, once we come to that realization, once we see in the mirror the image that we don't lack, and once we say, this is who I am, and once I say, I believe that this is not who I have to be. I believe that I can be so much more than this. And now God is inviting you to say, now you get a chance to wash away all that filth. Because here's the thing. If you need to go to where God is telling you that you can go, you cannot do it if you're carrying a backpack full of baggage. Because as soon as you go, you are reminded of all those things and all of memories of the things that defined who you are in the past. And if you are not able to let go of those things, you will never be able to become everything that made you to become. And that is why there is so much power in this oneness. Because here you are declaring that you are clean and you don't have to feel the shame anymore. You don't have to feel embarrassed anymore. You don't have to take that backpack full of baggage anymore. It can stay behind and you can be truly free. Because many times we get to this point where we can't repent and we feel the embarrassment. And we believe maybe God can do this, but we don't learn to just let it go. And if we cannot let it go, we will never get to experience what God always meant us to be. So far, so good? I know, boring, I know. I'm falling asleep with you. All right, this is the shallow. Now, let's move into the deep end. And now it's where it starts getting a little interesting. Because right now we're going to go from the 3 feet to the 5 feet. And now we're going to venture into the 7 feet. Because now it's going to start getting a little real. And if any of this sounds interesting while we're going forward, you need to be here at 10 a.m. when we do our Bible study. That is fantastic. And we've been going into this so much of depth, but we're going to get a little preview. Because now things are getting a little weird. And this one, I know you all know it. But the second two, I can guarantee. guarantee that some of you will be surprised. So this one we all know, because this is the most typical image that we have of baptism. And it says, what shall we say then? Romans 6:1. Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Because there's a struggle when we try to move from where we are to where we know that we can be. That is keeping us back, and it's holding us back. And it says, are you going to be like that? Are you those who died to sin? How can we live any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? And then it says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that Jesus Christ, as was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live in the newness of life. And this is when we transition now. And this is not new to you. But this is why we do this. This is why we don't sprinkle water. This is what we do. Because when we go into these waters, we say that together with Jesus Christ, we are dying to ourselves. We're dying to that image that we see in the mirror, that image that brings us pain, that image that brings us shame. We're dying to that. And we're waking up to a newness of life. And when you come out of these waters, you are a brand new person. Sounds great, right? So far, so good? Okay, now I want you to put your thinking caps, guys. I know you've been passive listeners. I know. This is how we're doing. It's okay. Now it's going to pick up the pace a little bit. What does that mean? I want you to really think about it. What does that mean? Yeah, we die to self and then we'll rise again. Okay, great. We die to sin and we're alive in the spirit. So, what does that mean? Because you know, and I know, and you've been through this maybe, or maybe you haven't. If you haven't, today I really want you to consider the impact that this can have in your life. And then that new person gets up. And then that new person, all of a sudden, starts looking a little bit like the old person. And that is why when we look at this as a do-over, I have so much trouble. Because have you ever done a do-over just to do a do-over? And then a do-over of the do-over of the do-over? And what does that cost in your life? Frustration, anger, and you've done it every New Year's day, maybe, with your New Year's resolution, and you haven't switched it maybe for a decade because you've done the do-over time and time again. But if that's the case, then why do we do this in the first place? What does it mean, and what difference does it make? Since you were dead to your old self, dead to sin, and alive in Christ. But as soon as I'm trying to break free through this line, as soon as I'm trying to break it, boop, there's this thing that bites me right here and pulls me back. And what is that? Am I the only one who has experienced this? Please tell me I'm not the only one who's struggling. If not, I feel quite miserable. Isn't this the part of the Christian walk that we go on? And unless we get to look at the full meaning of this, we're going to be stuck in that. Because I know that I prayed for years to God to just get me unstuck, and I just cannot break the threshold of this deep hand. And then we turn away, and then we just go back. And then it's as it always was. So now I want you to follow me to where it gets real interesting. You okay? Mm-hmm. Yeah? Alright. So for if we were united with Christ in his death, you were united in his resurrection, so the promise, and also was crucified and no longer slaves to sin. Great. So now I want you to look at it. I only saw this recently. And it completely changed. Colossians 2. It's good that we're doing this in children's church because we're going to talk about boy parts. We're going to talk about boy parts in church. And it says, in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He's the head over every power and authority. That's very important to acknowledge from the get-go. But we all know that. And then it says, in him, you were also circumcised. What? With a circumcision.
my flesh was put up, you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him through the pact, in which you were also raised with him, by your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. So now this takes us back, way back, because this takes us to the story of that man who had become, but couldn't become, but then really did become. Because Genesis 12 tells us a story of a man who had become a pretty big deal. He had mansions, he had Corvettes, and all the pretty cars, he had friends, he had popularity. But there was one thing that he didn't have, and that was a future. Because he couldn't have children. It's a story of Abraham. And his children were his future. And he did not have a future. And now in Genesis 12, God appears to him. And he tells him this. Hey, Abraham. I like you, man. Here's my promise to you. You're going to become the father of a great nation. God! Yes, thank you. That's what I've been wanting to go my entire life, and I've been stuck here, and that's where I've been wanting to go, and it's not happened. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Because, yes, there's nothing more in this world that I would want than that. But now I need you to leave this place where you're at. I need you to leave this country. I need you to leave your friends. I need you to leave all this place, and I need you to go to a place that I will show you. Cool, I'm in. Sure. Just give me that future, because I want that future. And Abraham leaves. And you know the story. I don't want to keep going along because you know the story. He leaves all this behind. Suddenly, he faces hunger. Suddenly, he faces family problems. Suddenly, he faces his own weakness of character as he lies. And now God takes him outside and says, hey, Abraham, check it out. Look at this stuff. That's how your future will be. That's how your descendants will be. So, okay, God, yeah, I'm ready. I'm here. I'm waiting. I'm right here. All right, all right, all right. Now I want you to do this, Abraham. I want you to walk to that. And I want you to walk to the north. And I want you to walk to the south. And I want you to walk to the east. And I want you to walk to the west. And I want you to know that all this land will be for you and your inheritance. Okay, God, sure. Let's do this. I'm ready. So, Abraham, Abraham, come here. We're in the fall, so we get really dusty here. I learned in my neighborhood. You see that dust? That's how your future will be. Okay, God, it's been 20 years, 25 years. When is this going to happen? And then in chapter 15 of Genesis, something really interesting happens. Because now Abraham falls asleep, and he sees something that's completely bizarre to us. He sees rows of animals split in half, lying side by side. And we see this image and we think this is just disgusting. This is atrocious. Animals cut in the middle, their inner parts exposed, walking side by side. And while this may be an strange scene to us, it was a very familiar scene for Abraham. Because Abraham knew that back in the day, Bruce wouldn't have been a lawyer and David wouldn't have been a lawyer because they didn't have court systems. And the only way they could honor their agreements, their covenants, was through something they would do between those animals. Because the two parties that were agreeing on something, they would split the animals in half, a heifer, and a dove, and a few other animals, they would take their hands, and they would walk through the animals together. And at the end of that walk, they would say, if I don't keep my end of this bargain, may that. If I don't uphold what I say I'm going to do, you have every right to come, cut me in half. And then they would have a nice barbecue and enjoy a nice meal together as good friends. And in that sleep, the Bible tells us that Abraham sees an oven all come down the way, walking through the animals, while he stood by and simply watched. God, in that oven,
through the middle of those animals. And he told Abraham, I know who you are. I know that you lied to Pharaoh. I know that you lied to Abimelech. I know that you are a flawed, flawed man. But I will keep my covenant no matter what. And Abraham, there's something you should know. You're going to fail at this. You're going to deserve this. But I'm not asking you to walk here because I will take care of that. I will bear the price for your mistakes. Abraham, I want you to see this because this is what I'm willing to do for you. And Abraham wakes up and he's kind of like, whoa, okay. And then in chapter 16, he goes, and once again, Abraham fails miserably. And Ishmael comes to town. And now it's where it gets real interesting. Because on chapter 17, God tells Abraham, come here, Abraham. This is about to happen, but I want to know what's going to happen. And he tells him, there's something I need you to do. And I want you to put your thinking caps together. If you're called to build a nation, how do you build a nation? Think very literally. Very literally. Very literally. Having kids. And how do you have kids? Well, mommy loves daddy very much and he gives her a little seed, right? And now God is telling Abraham, Abraham, you have one tool and one tool only to make that happen. But I want you to trust me. And to know that you've been trying to go at it for years. 100 years you've been trying to go at this. And you just couldn't do it. But I want you to just know this. If you trust me, if you trust me, you will make it to the other side. And now he tells him to get a flintlock. Yes, a rock. They didn't have knives. And he tells him to go and put a mark on his thing to cut the foreflesh of his virility. And in that, he will take the mark of God's covenant with him. After that, he goes and he messes up again. But a year later, when Abraham was 100, when God changes his name and he says, hey, Abraham, I want you to now know this too. You're no longer Abram. Now you're Abraham, which means father of a multitude. I want you to know this. In a year, you will have a son. And Isaac was born when Abraham was 100 years old. So what does this mean? Which tells that baptism is a circumcision of the heart. Not done with hands, but done by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Galatians 3 it says, so Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have called yourselves to Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male nor female. For you are all one in Christ. You belong to Christ. You are Abraham's son. According to that promise. See? Baptism is about believing that the impossible future that God has planned for you is possible. Baptism is about believing that you really do belong to Him. You are Abraham's seed. And baptism is about you becoming everything God wanted you to become. It's about a fresh start. It's about acknowledging where you come from, but knowing where you're going and knowing that you're going to make it. It's about putting on a brand new you. It's a fresh start. It's a complete surrender and total commitment to Christ. It's about starting to really believe that you are what God says that you are, which is His child. Already made it to the other side. I like what Bruce put it in his Sabbath school in the past couple of weeks. It's a change of attitude. And this is what this has meant to me. Because I struggle with many things. How I treat my wife, Cindy. This Italian temperament that I have, which sometimes gets the best of me. Entertaining thoughts in my mind that I know that should not be there. Holding on to things that have hurt me for no reason. And my prayer for year after year having, God, help me get over this. God, help me overcome this. God, I don't want to do this anymore. God, why can't I do this? God, is this the thorn in my flesh? God, what is this? God, why do I have to stand in front of people to profess a faith that I have? And know that in my own heart, I have things that when I look at the mirror, they terrify me. Why? And then I saw this and it began to change a little bit about my mind. What it is to really believe. And I don't know if this is what Paul had in mind when he wrote, this is just my experience. But my prayer began to change. It no longer was about God helping me not to do this and this and this and this and that. It was no longer God helping me to do this and this and not this and this. My prayer became, God, thank you for making me who I am. And God, thank you for believing in me. And God, just help me to be more like you. I stopped naming those things because I named them once. I know what it is. And my prayer was, don't give me less of this. Give me more of Jesus. Just give me more of Jesus. Show me how today I can be a little bit more like you. That's all I want. Okay? I know this, and you know this. And I've been focusing on this my entire life, and I have made no progress. Let my focus not be on you, and be more like you. And today, I can promise you that I'm not the man that I used to be. Because once you believe that promise, once you believe that God is your friend, and he's inviting you on that journey, you will stumble, you will fall, you will fall over. You may feel like you're not going forward, maybe even backwards. But if you truly believe that God is your friend, you will make it to the other side. If you believe that you are who God says you are, you will become everything that he says you will become. Colossians 2 said, put on Christ. My son gets really frustrated when he's trying to do things. He fails. We try to play soccer because I show him soccer on the television sometimes. He came and he would step over the goal and fall. He would try on the side and fall. He would kick the ball and the ball would be behind him. He just sat on the floor and just cried. And he learned this word in English and said, I'm so frustrated. He just beat the floor with his fist. I don't know where he learned frustrated from, because that's way too sophisticated for me. So I got this little jersey and I put it on. And I sat next to him and I told him, now I want you to close your eyes. Obviously he didn't for the first half hour. And then eventually he closed his eyes. And now I told him, I want you to see that ball going in the direction you want to go, into that little goal. My language was way more simple. Now open your eyes and go. And the ball was still behind. It wouldn't be a true story if it had such a perfect ending. But he kept trying. Said, again, close your eyes. Imagine it. Now try. His kick now gets about 25 feet. Pretty good, actually. In a few years, he'll be a far better player than I ever have been. But he had to see the ball going forward. He had to start to believe that he could be that person who would do that, just like the people who would saw on TV. He put on that jersey and he takes joy. Now we go once every 2 weeks or so when we have time. So often,
put on that jersey. We put on Christ. And we begin to believe. And we begin to become. And we begin to belong. Because then God surrounds us with people who will make sure we make it to the other side. So let's finish. I think I did about 27 minutes. Sorry. I lied. That's what I'm working on. See, I believe that I will not lie one day and I will preach shorter sermons. Do you believe? But I want to invite Delanta, is he back? Okay. And just give you a little certainty of what took place today. Because today you begin to believe in that bright future that God has in store for you. Michelle, who's Michelle? She's gone already. John Kagan, have some pictures up there if you can show. John, come on up. Have a look at it. Come on up. Back in April, John had to get in the Atlantic Ocean. Stay up front, stay up front. Right here. Come on, John, don't be shy now. You were up there the whole time I was preaching, cleaning that water, distracting me, and now you're not going to come on up? Come on. Yeah, I'll sure scare you. Caitlin, Melanie, come on up. I'll look at you. And Chandler. Look at Chandler. Where's Chandler? He's a new Chandler today. Look at him. Look at that hair. Looking good, man. If I was a lady, I'd definitely be interested. Now you're scared. Lord, I love it. All these people, over the last few months, let's just call the pictures, have decided to put on Christ. They decided to believe in that future that God has in store for them. Christopher is not here, but he may be getting them out in Blue Ridge. That's a tradition now, 2 out of 2 years so far. And all these individuals have put on Christ and asked God to circumcise their hearts. So by believing, they can become everything that God has asked them to be. I don't know if you have been baptized or not, but I know that maybe you are struggling today with believing that that person you see in the mirror can become that person that God says that you are. Maybe you don't believe that today. Maybe you have never broken this threshold. If you haven't been baptized yet, or if you have been baptized under another premise, nothing of what we just talked about, I want you to consider doing that very soon. Come up front here and pray with us. All these people have taken that decision, but I want you to invite you to consider the year is ending, a new year is just around the corner. Maybe that's how you can become that person who you want to be next to. And maybe you've already been baptized, but you haven't been able to break free. Today, I want to invite you to believe God can do with you what he did with a 100-year-old man. I want you to allow him to change your identity, change your name, change who you are. And the most difficult part is believing what you don't feel is true right now. But as a Christian, that is what faith is for. You guys coming up for the prayer? All right. Anybody else? As we sing our closing song, there's something you need to surrender. Maybe there is baggage that you need to let go. Maybe there is repentance that needs to happen in your car. Maybe say, I cannot look at that person in the mirror. Come up front. Let it all go, because if you can do that, you can believe and you can become. And God has placed you in this church, a family where you can belong. And we will be there with you for that journey. Maybe you're not satisfied. Maybe you've done well. Maybe you struggle to become something that you're not, and you will never be that. So stop struggling and come and become what God says that you actually are and what you can be. Maybe you just can't ever seem to become what you put in your heart to be. I want to be good. I want to be faithful. I want to stop lying. I want to stop watching those things. I want to no longer depend on that.
this relationship. I don't know what it is. But I just can't wait for you. Believe. Believe. Surrender. Today, Jesus is inviting you to acknowledge where you are, because it's okay. And it will be okay. If you're willing to let go, if you're willing to wash away, if you're willing to believe, to start over and experience the newness of life that only He can give. So as we sing this closing song, I thank God for this group up here. Just stay with me during the song. Sing, okay? I know you guys sing beautifully. Just join us up here. And we'll close with a prayer of belief, of commitment, of surrender to Jesus as we begin this holiday season. So stay around us. And if you want to be part of it, just come up front and pray with us as we have our service. telling us who we really are. Your children, your creation, your most precious possession. We begin this Christmas season knowing full well this wasn't the day, but we still hope that we can somehow honor you through all this. Remember, throughout this year have given their lives to you through baptism and said, I believe that can be that person that only God knows how to be. And I pray that as they faithfully walk alongside with you, that they will become that person. Each day, a little bit more, until we see you coming again in the clouds of heaven. And there's people who are in front here that want to take this step very, very soon. Burning desire in our hearts. And may we be celebrating this again. I'd love to get wet again. Not a problem. As we celebrate the newness of life that comes from putting on Christ. And Lord, there's some of us who have been through this, but still cannot reach that deep end. The waves come and we feel like they we look at that mirror and we still see traces of that old self. In this place today, help us to set our sights a little higher. Help us to stop looking at who we have been and who we believe we are. And help us to believe even those things which are not, don't feel true right now, that we are your children. That we are your precious possession. That we are, my goodness, you're called us saints. Are you kidding me? That we are your saints. Your hands. Your feet. There may be something that has been holding us back. Help us today to move away from that. And remember that day when we too were baptized. And when we too set our sight. One last word.